Today, good morning, everyone. Today, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about some Buddhist concepts that are quite important, that is related to meditation. Ngày hôm nay, Thầy muốn nói một tí về những cái quan điểm về Phật giáo, giáo lý Phật giáo quan trọng, nó liên quan tới thiền. We meditate. The objective of meditation is to learn to control your thoughts. Cái mục tiêu của cái thiền là để giúp quý vị điều khiển được cái tư tưởng của mình. You control your thoughts. This is what meditation, the meditation we're teaching, is to teach you, to help you develop skills to control your thoughts. Okay? Cái phương pháp thiền chúng tôi dạy quý vị là để giúp quý vị phát triển khả năng để mà điều khiển tư tưởng. For example, the majority of the people right now, meaning all of you, don't get offended. All of you present today, in the flesh, are unable to control your thoughts. Chẳng hạn như những cái vị có mặt hiện ngày hôm nay đó, là cái vị không có thể điều khiển tư tưởng. What do I mean by that? Your thoughts are arising one after another, unceasingly, and you can't stop them. Tại vì hiện bây giờ cái đầu trong đầu quý vị một cái tư tưởng nó liên tục, nó nối tiếp nhau, từng tư tưởng tới tư tưởng khác mà quý vị không thể nào ngừng được. Am I wrong? Raise your hand, any of you who feels that you can stop your thoughts at will. You can't. You can? No, you can't. Can't, not at your level right now, you can't. If you were able to, would be having a different state. Okay. Thoughts can be very, very minute, very fine, so fine that you can't even tell. Okay. The people who are able to stop their thoughts are in Buddhism, belong to a different group of people that we call, well, I lenient a little bit. We call them sages, meaning they're able to have the kind of wisdom, the kind of understanding that normal people do not. And that manifests itself. The wisdom cannot reveal itself, cannot function unless you stop your thoughts. Okay? Nên Phật giáo mình, cái người mà nôm na nói, cái người mà có thể ngừng cái tư tưởng là thuộc cái dòng của cái hạng người gọi là thánh nhân. Để nói hơi rộng một tí, thì ra không phải hoàn toàn ai là thánh nhân có thể ngừng lại được. Vì đa số những người đó là thánh nhân, tại vì cái thánh nhân có nghĩa là họ có một cái sự trí huệ mà cái người thường không có, ta hiểu những cái, ta biết những cái người thường không biết được. Okay, for example, I'll give an example, a proof that you are not able to stop your thoughts. Do you still have sexual desire? Raise your hands. How come I only see two hands? The rest of you hiding your true identity? Okay, if you still have sexual desire, then you still have thoughts. Okay? Any disagreements about that? Yes? Go ahead.
Oh yes, I personally disagree because I know for myself, I'll speak for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in meditation and doing practices since I was 20 years old.
Yes.
I've gone through different stages and phases. I recently am coming back towards trying to get in to society.
Yes.
It's not easy.
Yes.
We didn't hear you.
21 years of meditation since you're 21. Okay, that's at least a good 10 years. Yes.
Thanks for that.
You know, we're not say exactly how many years, but
this doesn't work. This isn't working.
It's okay. Never mind.
Anyway, my point with as far as sexual desire.
Yes.
I have been in situations with my meditation, my prayer meditation, my position where I have like illuminated the desire. Coming back to society, it's like yes, I would like to have a mate. So being human, sexual desire is natural. It's not that I can't or won't get away from it. It's I'm choosing to get back to this society I live in, and that's part of it for me. So that's just me.
Very good. Những người nói là thầy không đồng ý với thầy, vẫn họ có thể ngừng lại tư tưởng và vẫn còn vẫn nhưng đều vẫn còn cái tham dục, cái tình dục thì tại họ tu, cái cô này cô tu thời gian lâu thiền từ 21 tuổi, chứ bây giờ cũng khá lâu rồi, bây giờ có thể ngừng lại được cái chuyện tình dục. You are not quite well informed. Sexual desire can be temporarily stopped if you reach the form realm. Okay? Meaning that you have is not as compelling as it used to be. Okay? Meaning that you don't lose control as easily as you used to. Okay. However, it's still latent. This is a misperception of the meditators who reach a certain level, a degree of concentration, meditation, and at those levels, for example, you have reduced your sexual desire a lot more than before you came to the temple. Am I correct?
Yes.
No, you in the middle. I'm not going to name names. You right there. Yes.
Well, yeah, I was thinking about.
It has lessened quite a bit. Okay,
yes.
And don't mention your name. So we want to preserve your. I don't want your husbands and family to worry about it. Okay, but it's a fact, right? Naturally, once you reach a level of samadhi, you reach a high level of samadhi, your sexual desire normally is lessened. Okay, when you enter samadhi, actually it's non-existent. I mean, it's no longer operational. However, it is still operational at a very, very deep level you're not aware of. This is why the people who meditate, they are confused about it. They think it stopped, it hasn't. It's only the portion where you're aware of stops. The portion you're not aware of is still latent. You cannot cut it off. And that's why you still go back to it. Because once you cut it off, you have no more desire for it. It becomes undesirable, if you will. Yes?
This is where it comes into play, one of the most difficult aspects of meditation meditation itself is just to continue to live our life.
Yes.
With our daily life. How do we, isn't it necessarily about sex or sexual desires or whatever?
Uh-huh.
All the elements that compound to give rid of, for them to understand.
Uh-huh. Okay. That's a valid concern. So you meditate and you lessen desire and your husband worries about it. What's happening to you? You don't find me attractive anymore? What's wrong with you? How come you don't like to go to restaurants and eat with me anymore? Right? Why are you nodding your head like that? There's some people who are aloof and who is more worried about the pain in the legs than... those are valid concerns, and eventually you learn how to adjust to your changes, and your family have to adjust to your changes. The fact is they're real, okay? Meaning that you're not as excitable, shall we put it that way, as before, by not only sex, by many things, by food, by sleep, by clothes, by cars. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, this is scary. More and more so, right? The more you come, the more you become, shall we say, even keeled, meaning less ups and downs. Right? The ups and downs there is you've been drawn out by these desires, whether it's sex or whether it's food, whether it's anger and those things. Right? Those are the things that draw you out. Now you're not as drawn out, meaning your range before used to be like this. Now it becomes smaller. Okay? When you choose to be. It doesn't mean that it's no longer like this. Now you have more control over your thoughts so that you allow your thought to have this smaller range. However, when you choose to, you can go like this. You can go back to sexual desire and enjoy it just as much or even more. Yes? You're still normal, trust me. Okay? You only control it. You're allowed to go smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller as you progress. Okay? But the moment that you choose to, you go back like this. Anytime you choose to. So do not confuse that with the fact that you should not be worried about that, because right now, with your increased meditation skills, you have a choice not to allow those things to disturb you. And when you choose to, like what she said, I want to go back to, you know, living what she calls a, quote, normal life. What it is that actually it is a misconception. Life is no more abnormal for you, those people who choose to be like this, than ever. It's just that you happen to be what? More efficient. You don't waste your energy. This is a lot of energy being wasted. Right? This is you conserve energy. You only go this much. Is it clear? This is why we meditate, because we meditate to control our thoughts, fluctuations. Every now and then you have a go up like this, and then you go back to it right away, right? Yes, you walk by and you see a person walk by and say, wow, that's pew, right? And then you say, no good. You go back like this, right? Boy, why are you all smiling, you women all smiling? Am I saying something that's kind of private?
We agree.
We agree?
Yes.
Meaning it's you're normal. That's precisely my point. you still are drawn out, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Yeah?
Yes.
Of course. That's the spike. You're drawn out, meaning you spike up. And then you say, oh, I'm with my husband. Choo! In control. But then you go, you see, you're still normal, you're still very normal. I assure you. Just don't tell your husband.
So can we lose our families eventually?
What?
Can we lose our families eventually?
You lose your family eventually? Yeah, when you die, yes.
No, I'm not in all of this process.
So, what I mean is that you're learning to live more efficiently, use your energy more efficiently, and what it also means your family needs to learn to adjust to it. You're no longer as wild as you used to be, when you go like this, like with them. So you recognize they're fluctuating by the wild, okay? And they're wasting energy, they eat more than you do, they sleep more than you do. You know, they get more tired than you do. They drink more Red Bulls and 5 hour of drinks than you do. Okay? You choose to go and have less fluctuations. You have more control over your life. That's what it is. Okay? And the other part of it is that the wisdom that's involved, that is, you're not as turned on by those things that you used to be. Right? Okay. Does it mean you have no longer have more appetite for those things? You still do, right? You still do. It's just that you are not as, you don't want those things as often as you used to. Am I correct? For example, when you reach from first dhyana through fourth dhyana, you enter that samadhi, you have no sexual desire. This is why the externalists, when they practice meditation, they think they put an end to sexual desire. No, they haven't. You only suspend it. Stops it only at that point when you're in samadhi. But when you exit samadhi, you're still turned on by the opposite sex. You are still sexually engaged. Okay? But anyway, it's just a Buddhist knowledge. It doesn't matter. But the point here is that it's still there. Don't have to worry about it. Okay? And part of your skills, part of your wisdom in engaging to society, in living a so-called normal life, is to learn to function with your new knowledge, your new understanding. Meaning that you need to educate your family. Okay? You have to stand your ground and tell them gently and over time that you changed for the better. Okay? You're not asking them to change with you. Okay? But you eventually your family will learn to accept you as you are. Okay? And if they learn to accept you, then they become better people themselves. Because there's no reason to be alarmed, there's no reason to be so close-minded. People evolve. For example, you're aging, you're dying right now. You won't get any younger. Someday you'll be as old as I am. Okay? Nothing you can do about it. Look at me, I'm still happy. Right? So we are evolving constantly, and part of life is you learn to accept it, you learn to improve, like that wine. Any questions, comments? Okay. So part of the process, why is it called wisdom? Why is Buddhism stresses wisdom? It's called wisdom. It's because it makes you aware of the problems that you face, instead of ignoring those problems. And once you be aware of those problems, for example, the problem you're aware of right now is you changed, and that you're not as fluctuating as wildly as before, okay? But however, you still have commitment to your family, to your friends. So now that becomes a problem, right? They're worried. They were worried of losing you. They were worried that you disappear for an hour and a half, 2 hours at the temple. You come back and you look like a saint. You're so happy. Okay? And now they're worried. I said, what did they do to my wife? Okay? What did they do to my husband? And is she going to leave me? Or did she find someone else who's more saintly than I am? You know? All those things. So, you are faced with new problems you need to fix, learn to deal with, and cope with. And that's part of the nature of the wisdom you're acquiring. Okay? The meditation skills will help you become aware of those problems. And then if you're aware of those problems, you want to commit to solving those problems and develop the ability to solve those problems. That's why it's called wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to solve your problems effectively, not ignoring them. Okay? Okay. Okay. Now, let me ask you this. When you are in pain, who can stop the pain immediately? Raise your hands.
Mostly.
The pain. Let's say they cut off your arm. I'm talking about that kind of pain. Can you stop that pain right away? I'm not saying you have to try it. Let's say you go to the dentist. And take the drill there and say, I'm gonna drill into your tooth and take out the root canal. Is that root canal operation, what they call it? And they start the drill and say, they say, open wide, don't be afraid. Oh, by the way, today we have no more painkillers. So I can't give you one. But don't, it's going to be okay. It's going to be only painful for half an hour. Okay? And the drill keeps going and they keep get closer and closer to your tooth. You know it's going to hurt like hell. Okay? Can you stop that pain?
Yes. By running away.
If you can't run away, can you stop that pain?
Not
you
sure.
Can't. You can't, can you?
Not sure.
You can't.
The simple sitting on the full lotus position is just I can endure probably doing that.
But you can do it, but you cannot stop the pain. I'm talking about no pain whatsoever.
No.
Raise your hand. No pain whatsoever.
I haven't had that experience.
You can go try. This is kind of harmless. Go to a dentist.
Don't want to try it.
Okay? So why would you, why do I teach you how to deal with the leg pains? Because if you learn, you're willing to learn how to deal with the leg pains, you get to reach a level where the pain can no longer affect you. You have no more pain at will. Why is that? You are able to stop the thought of pain from arising. You get that? That's why you have no pain. You can? Yes.
Do your legs go numb?
When I choose to, yes.
Sitting like this.
But if the pain right now, the legs are numb, right? Can you stop the numbness?
Yeah, the like pressure on the nerve, you know how it puts your foot to sleep.
Can you stop the numbness right now? You don't feel nothing. Okay, then you still have thoughts.
Well, that's why I wondered, do your legs fall asleep? Does that happen to you?
Oh no, my legs are hurting all the time. It's not only numb, it's hurting like hell sometimes. You see, that's what exactly what I mean by in Buddhist concept. We know that you reach, you meditate to the point where you stop any thought of pain or numbness from arising. That's what I'm talking about. If you can do that, then you can stop sexual desire. Understand? It's at will. Okay? So, why does it go back to wisdom? If you can stop it, you can really stop it, your wisdom unfolds. And you see, oh, this is so wonderful. Okay? Why is it important? It's important because if you have the wisdom, you understand the state where you have no more, truly have no more sexual desire. All right? That's called wisdom. Now, you go back to life. Now you can choose. Do I want to have sex or don't I? Okay? So you at that level, your fluctuation is even smaller, but you still have all these fluctuations if you choose to. Wisdom is part of, is a fact you choose not to do it. Until you stop your thoughts of sexual desire, your thoughts of pain, you cannot choose. You think you have the choice, but you don't. Okay? Any questions about that? Is it clear? So you control your thoughts. Going back to the theme today, you control your thoughts. For example, the legs hurt so much. You choose to, okay? You choose to, you don't even do anything, and you can choose to stop the pain. Okay? So you don't have to stretch your legs, you don't have to get up, you don't have to rub it, you don't have to do anything, because the pain stops at will. Isn't it cool? It's very hard to do. Even though you reach, let's say, the form realm from first dhyana to fourth dhyana, you have the sexual desire is non-existent, but it's latent. Again, it's underneath, because that underneath part is a deeper level you're aware of. You cannot access it. You cannot stop it. Okay? That's why it still hurts. When you reach down there, that's when you can stop the pain. Is it clear? Yes.
Okay, I have a question. I have an idea.
Yes.
About the concentration and meditation. According to my opinion, I think if I can meditate, we can analyze if I have a problem, understand clearly.
Yes.
And other thing is, we can analyze what is the question. For example, somebody else come to me, ask me, mm-hmm. and blame to us, but I don't know about them. Then we can understand what is the situation, and we can bear, and we can live without worries, because I can understand what I am, who I am, who is I am.
So for example, let me ask you something specific. Suppose the person comes to you and says, I want to give you my pain, my suffering. How do you handle that? He says, Master, I'm sick. I'm dying of cancer. I don't want to die. I want to give it to you. Why not? You're the master. You're supposed to save people, save the world, aren't you? Right? That's the way, that's our profession is. What are you going to do?
I think at that time...
You say, please go to another temple. I know a much better monk than I am. You know, he's much bigger, he's much wiser. Yeah. What would you do? Yes, he says, I want to live. I want to live so that I can continue to give away continue to devote my life to Buddhism. I'm a devout Buddhist. I've always helped the temple for the last 40 years of my life. Now I'm sick with cancer. My master can't save me. So I came to ask my master, can I give my cancer to you? He says, no, you can't. I'm too important to Buddhism. You should go and see Bhante. What would you do? Now he's thinking.
Because I don't think about
it. See, you don't think about it. That's exactly what I'm getting at. What would you do if you were Bhante? All of you wise people who have stopped pain and stopped thoughts already, what would you do? Yes?
Help them if they are requesting for help.
Okay, there's a place for help. Which place is that? He says, I need to live. I want to live. Yes, what would you do? You raise your hand. What would you do?
Oh, I was going to say something else. Not necessarily that answer. I don't have that answer. I'm so selfish that I wouldn't say I would help you and give my life.
No way. You say, tell me, no way, I'm going to give you my life. Are you kidding me? I don't even know you.
I
respect you as a devout Buddhist, but I'm not Buddhist. Get away from me. Leave me alone. Yes? What else would you do?
Are we supposed to be using these?
Yes, you can use those.
Okay. So if I were him, that's...
Yes, what would you do?
In not master state. If I'm not a master, I wouldn't be able to take the person's pain. As I am myself right now, I would tell them that's your path. I can't take your pain, you have to deal with it, not me. That's where it's at. I mean, I would do what I can to help the person.
What if you are a monk like him, who supposedly is there to help others,
I don't know what a monk's...
What would you do?
I don't know what a monk's supposed to do, so...
But you see, people would do it to you. If you say, I'm going to be a monk, I want to save the world, I want to help living beings, I say, okay, help me. Here's my cancer. Take it from me, please. What are you going to do?
Well, you would deal with her karmatic debts and probably not getting it to you, but it's gonna, you're going to be able, as a monk, you're going to be able to somehow help in a way that you know without giving away your life or changing your life or something.
Are you supposed to take
it? Yes. You're supposed to help others. This is our profession.
But no, I mean, I help others also, but I'm not going to be able to do that. As a human being, I can't.
Do that, you mean.
No. As a human being, I cannot take a person's cancer out of them. A doctor might be able to, but I can't. I'm always willing to help if I can, to my limitations as a human being.
If he says, if the patient says, I'm told that I can give it to you if you accept, it could save my life. Now what you do? Now Bhante is thinking. He says,
if that
have a lot of disciples.
If that were my role and that were my ability, I would do it, yes.
You would do it?
Yes.
Would you? Chiente, would you? He says, I'm sorry, I don't have a lot of disciples, but I have to help Master first.
I guess if you're at the level where you can do that, you should be strong enough that you can handle it, you can weather that, you can survive it quite better than them, I suppose. I mean, like, what might kill that person for you might just be, you know, a cold or something temporary that.
What do you think? Have you thought it through yet? What are you going to do? See the problem? You're thinking. He's thinking. That's why he's hesitating.
And the person's dead.
He's thinking. You're thinking. She's thinking. She's thinking. That woman here is avoiding me. She's thinking too. You're all thinking. That's why you have no wisdom. Is it clear?
No.
I give you a problem, and you think about it.
I gave questions back.
If you think, you have no wisdom.
I gave an answer.
You don't understand. That's all you have to think. My answer, I say, go to DRBA. Much better than me. I don't think. I pass the buck right away. See, he has to think. He has to, gee, I'm a monk.
I think we can't get other person karma.
Yeah? What are you going to do?
His karma is respect to his. According to his reward base, his karma.
Yeah.
I can't because his karma. Yeah. His bad karma, and reward base.
Okay. Here's what happened. This is the truth.
Yeah,
if you allow him to give the cancer to you, you'll be sick like hell. You might even die. Just that thought. You say, yes, I accept. Okay? You'll be sick. And his sickness will lessen. You're taking on his karma. Any of you can do that. You can take on someone else's burden if you are sincere. You say, yes, I will suffer on your behalf. the sickness you take on is directly proportional to how sincere you are in wanting it. Meaning that you said, yes, I feel sorry for you, I take on for you. But in the back of your mind says, but I still have a lot of disciples. And I still have a lot of responsibilities. I can't do that. I will take on some. The extent I'm able to, then you'll be sick. Maybe you have a cold. Maybe you have a upset stomach. Maybe you won't sleep very well. Or maybe you die. Maybe you have cancer. If you're extremely sincere, he'll be cured and you have his cancer. You die for him. But since you haven't stopped your thoughts, you will not be able to take on all his cancer. Because in the back of your mind, the bottom level of your thoughts, when you're not aware of, you say, oh, I shouldn't. And no one knows except you. And that's why you won't be as sick as he is. Is it clear? Because you're afraid. You're afraid to die yourself. This is only you know. No one else knows. That's automatic because you think about it. This is what's stopping you. That's why you can't help. Because you're still attached to your own survival. To your own needs. I'm saying this because for a reason. If you agree with my assessment so far, that most of you are not willing to take on all of it. Right? That's all your answers tell me. You say, it's not my problem. Why do you give it to me? I'm not able to. I can't. It's because you attach to that ego. It says, you know, I'm important. I can't take on this problem. I have all the problems, important problems I need to take care of. I need to do. If you are like that, then you will not be able to help that person as much as you think. Okay? You understand? The path of cultivation, you develop more and more and more samadhi power, concentration power, to the point where this hidden layer of your thoughts, okay, you can reach it. You say, okay, stop being so selfish. Then you are much better able to go all out, all in, if you will. You play poker. I see I have a poker player here. You don't? You don't? Or am I wrong? Or I use everything I can think of, even including playing poker, a mahjong, if you ask the Chinese. Okay? You go all out. You hold nothing back. That's when you are able to help with everything you have, totally, fully, without regrets, without hesitation. Okay? Because right now, every time you help someone, you still hold something back and say, oh, this part you can't have. Please don't tell me you love someone to the point you're willing to give up your life for that person. No, you don't. Okay? Because you don't have wisdom yet.
Well, what if you have the willingness and you don't have the wisdom, you don't have the... I'm going to speak for myself and I'm sorry I'm crying.
I'm sorry, I touch a very soft spot for you.
Yes.
Yeah. I have a way of doing that. I don't know why.
But it's not a problem because I know that I want to learn more about it because I have someone that cries for help without being able to communicate.
Yes.
And never had the opportunity.
Yes.
To learn to communicate.
Yes.
And I would be willing to give my life for her to change it because I'm worthless.
No, that's not a wise thing to do. That's not wisdom. You give your life to her, then who's going to take care of your husband and your daughter? The other children. That's not wisdom. You can't, you know, if that guy comes, I do exactly the same Bhante would do. I say, no, I'm not going to help you. I'm sorry. Now I understand it. Now I thought about it. I said, no way. Okay, no way. Why? Because if I help you, how am I going to help the rest of the people? Right? I have work to do. I have commitments. I can't just afford to give everything I have to the first person that comes along, including my life. Because before I got to this point, I made commitment to others already. Is it clear? So what are you? Whimsical? You make commitment and you back out on the spur of the moment? Are you that kind of person? You have no wisdom whatsoever. That's how I would back out of it. I say, please go to... They have, maybe they have no commitments over there. But I do. I'm being truthful. I will help you to a certain level, but I will not give up my life for you. You see, now he's smiling. He's worried. I say, oh my God! Oh my God! I'm gonna have to give up my life too? That's wisdom.
It's a moralistic question.
No. It's wisdom. Question of wisdom. Even if you're able and willing to give up your life for it, should you? That's a different aspect you have to examine before you commit to it. Am I correct? Yes, you develop the ability to give up your life at will to help someone. But should you every single time? If you're able to have the ability to give up your life to help someone, then you also must have the wisdom to use that decision properly. Correct? You're hesitating, you're fighting me because you have no wisdom whatsoever when you face that position. Right? You say, let me think about it. No, I'm not sure I can. Yes, you can. If you're able to. But you shouldn't. Sometimes you should. That's wisdom. Wisdom is to make the right decisions to solve the problem. I may ask you this. If you're willing to give up your life for your mother, now she's looking at me. I'm changing my guinea pigs so that to share the burden. I'm not a burden one person alone. So let's say you prepare to give your life to help your mother. Should you? I'm asking you right now. For example, your mother is down with an incurable disease, a terminal disease. I'm asking all of you now. Your mother is down with an incurable disease. She's going to die. And your mother is only 50. It's not like she's 93 years old where she won't have, doesn't have much longer to live. Okay? I'm asking you now, the young one, unattached, almost attached, let me put it that way. Almost entrapped. I'm asking you, are you prepared to give your life to save her life? Think about it. How about the rest of you? Are you prepared to give your life for your mother's? No. No.
No.
How about you? No? Three no's. How about you? One, the remaining woman in the class today.
She asked me, yeah, but she usually would think too much for a whole family, but she didn't ask me.
But if she asked you, would you give up your life?
If she's really asking, yeah.
You would give up your life. Dang, would you give up your life to save your mother? See? Maybe. The man says, you see, all the women, you know, have made up their mind. This man, he is undecided. How about you, Bhante? Are you willing to give up your life for your mother? You can't? What do you mean you can't?
If I want to give up my life?
Yes. Are you prepared to give your life for your mother?
I can give up you.
Hmm? You take on her cancer. Are you prepared to? Are you prepared to? You're so selfish.
I like to give, but I can't give. But my mother asked for me.
Would you give it?
No
way. I have 5 minutes left. I know I would love to discuss this, and we may have to come back next week and talk about this because it's not going to resolve in a few minutes.
If she asks from me, I want to do a life to live, I can't give because my life is different.
Okay, let me put it this way. Okay, the two of you. Suppose your teacher asks you to give your life to save him. He says, I have important work to do left. And I don't want to die. I can't die. If I die, you guys can't do it. Are you prepared to give your life for your teachers?
I like to do, but how to do? My question.
Doesn't matter. He says, I have a way. I haven't taught you yet. If I want to live longer, I take your life. Would you? He's thinking. See what I mean? When you think, he's right here. That's a proof you haven't stopped your thinking yet. Okay?
It's preparation work from I'd be willing to do it, but I'm not prepared.
Master, I am.
Yes, go ahead.
I think some things we can't give.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of things we
doesn't
can't
matter.
Give.
Doesn't matter. I don't care what you think.
Some
doesn't care what you know. I'm telling you that. Your teacher, the situation. Your teacher says, "I have a way that if you die for me, I can live." Are you willing to?
But of
course you don't know about it. I haven't taught you yet.
I don't know what is the way.
Yes.
But
there is a way.
I don't know way. Firstly,
I know. It's good enough. Suppose I'm your teacher. I say, I know. I know a way. I need your life.
Firstly, I ask, please can you explain what is the way?
But what's the point? What's the point? I explain it to you and you're going to die anyway. See? He's not willing to.
Because no problem, I can give, but I never heard about that.
Because in your life, you haven't faced the matters of life and death often enough. Okay? Every time you face the situation of life and death, you have to decide how you're going to deal with it. I know you guys are sheltered. You folks are sheltered. You say, oh, my life, I'm full of life. So much to look forward to. More people I can fall in love with and get married to. All these handsome young men out there. These wonderful men out there I can make so happy. And so on. Okay. You still have... you are so sheltered, but you know there are a lot of people out there who are facing with a life and death situation. They're very sick. They're very desperate. Not in this country. This country is very far and few in between. But you know, you go to, for example, in Africa, you go to Vietnam, you go to China, you have a lot of these people who are so poor, you know, so desperate. You have nothing to look forward to. You know, I saw a picture of a child in Ethiopia. She's like skin and bones, and you know, and she's yearning for something to eat because she's so hungry. It hurts so much when there's no food in your stomach. Do you know that? Do you know how much it hurts when you have nothing in your stomach for days on end? Do you know how it feels? I do. It hurts so much. Okay? And all she wants is a little bit of food. And if she doesn't get that food, she will die. See, we are so sheltered. You are so sheltered. You don't have to face with these real life situations where people are so sick. They want to live. It's not until you face the situation that you have some real wisdom. Okay? Wisdom arises from you learn to deal with situation you can't solve. When you find a way to solve it, that's when you acquire wisdom. Now you can do things that you could not before. It's called wisdom. And you do that by meditating. Yes.
What's the difference between being rationalizing something and then using wisdom? What wisdom? What's the difference?
What's the difference?
Yes.
Wisdom is that you know exactly what to do without thinking.
It's kind of intuition.
Hmm?
It's not an intuition.
It's the intuition. Oh. What you call intuition, what you women call intuition, what we men call... I don't know what we men call it. We think intuition is a female thing.
Is it gut feeling?
Yeah, gut feeling. Yeah. My gut feeling tells me, the men would say. But women says, my instinct, my intuition tells me, and so and so. Yeah, it's the same exact thing. It's no thinking. You just feel is right, or you feel is wrong. Okay? And this is something you lose when you go to school. You lose your intuition. Ask a young lady there, she's apparently nameless. The more you go to school, the more you lose your intuition because the more the school requires you to rely on your analytical skills. It has to be logical. You have to build a case for it. That's rationalizing. Rationalizing is a form of confusion. If you ask the purist, the Chan purist, he says, you rationalize and you lose your clarity of mind. You lose your ability to see what's behind the scene. Rationalization is a top level. Your instinct is much lower. through different modes. If you say, let me think about it, you're rationalizing, then you lose your clarity of mind. Yes?
I was wondering on a practical level, like how to work on reducing thinking. Like I notice as I'm going through the day and I'm trying to juggle all these different tasks to do, I'm not necessarily aware of what I'm thinking, but I notice like I'll stop and I'll hesitate and I'll not be functioning efficiently because I'm basically thinking about like what to do, what should I be doing, or how to do it best. But I'm like not really aware of the thinking per se, or what I'm even thinking. I'm just aware that I'm kind of like hesitant.
Okay, so let me get, I have to take a few more minutes and then we close it out. Answering the question. So you see, what's the difference between your instinct, gut feeling, intuition, and rationalization? Okay, they're contradictory. They get into each other's way. You cannot have both of them at the same time. So what happened is that the wise people instinctively knows what to do. He says, yes, I'm willing to give up my life for you because it's the right thing to do. And then you find a way to do it. You don't think. Because if you think, you will not do it. Okay? So, once you know what's right and wrong, okay, what's the proper course of action, that's when you rationalize for yourself and for others. That's when you get more people to do it with you. It's called wisdom. It's called teaching. Teaching is to help you rationalize your decisions. And this is where you learn, as part of your wisdom, and you learn as you understand more, you need to develop the ability to help people rationalize why you should be that way. You understand? So you can learn to rationalize yourself so that people can understand why it's better that way. Does it make sense? So rationalization is a form of connection, allows you to connect with others at the level that they can understand. That's okay? And the wise people learn, develop the ability to do it effectively so that they don't lose the connection with others. There's a difference between going off into the wilderness and meditate and living here in society and meditate. In society, we need to learn, develop the ability to connect with others, to help rationalize, to learn how to rationalize ourselves, to help others learn how to better rationalize themselves. Okay? When you're out there in the wilderness by yourself, you don't have that ability. Yes.
I'm not sure if rationalize is the right word, because it has a particular connotation of actually being almost an irrational thing to do. Rationalize usually means, I think what you just mean is like, be rational or use logic to convince somebody or argue to support your case. Because rationalize usually means like, you do something which is often stupid and the wrong thing and you come up with a false story in your mind to justify it. It almost means like justify. I think it's just not the exact right word. Does that make sense? But what you basically mean is use reasoning to support your case.
Yes.
In a sound or valid way. You're not.
That's rationalization. It's no different.
It's the same.
It's the same exact thing. Now it's only because you don't know how to do it yet. That's why you're still distinct.
Ha ha ha.